Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And what we're going to look at today is forgiveness, which is always a good thing. I think I taught once before on, you don't want to carry stuff with you. It's really a bad thing to carry around bitterness or hard feelings or anything like that. And one of the ways that we deal with that is that we learn to be forgiving. And, you know, forgiveness can be a very difficult thing at times for us. You know, somebody could really hurt you badly, and it may be very difficult to forgive, or you may even think it's impossible to forgive them. But, you know, it may lead to that you determine in your heart to never forgive a certain person or a situation. But God's word says we are to forgive, and there's no limitations on that forgiving, just like there's no limitations on God's forgiving. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day." Boy, that was exciting. I wish I was teaching on the hope at that moment. You know, the trump of God. That would have been cool. Anyway, it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." And in the Working Translation, he translates it, "Holy Spirit," that is to say, God. And to grieve means what? It means to make sad, basically. So when we grieve God, it means we're not renewing our minds. So it says, "Whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption." Then it says in verse 31, and you know, this is a great, these two verses here, 31 and 32, are just some of the greatest verses in the Bible on practical living and how we are to control our mind. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Okay, bitterness, you know what bitterness is, right? It's that if we were discussing food, it would be, you know, an acidic, foul taste, right? You ever taste buttermilk? Yeah, gives me the chills. Wrath means hot temper. Clamor means clamorous bickering. Evil speaking means slander, and malice means evil. So we're to put away those things. We're to put away bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking or slander, and put away from you with all malice. And that malice is all evil. We're to put those things away from us. And so then it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So in verse 32, it says, "Forgiven even as God has forgiven us." What a great thing. Then chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." And the word followers is what? Imitators, right? So if we're going to imitate God, well, he is certainly tenderhearted towards us. He's certainly forgiving towards us. And he has taken care of us, you know. And he is just, he's kind to us all the time. We heard that in manifestations, how he does things for us beyond what we even realize. He loves us beyond what we realize. He's put us here on earth to bless us. But he asks us to live according to his word. And he shows us here, and this is a command. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." We are commanded to forgive, and we are to be forgiving as God forgave us for Christ's sake, or in Christ, it could read. So we're to forgive as he forgave. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. So, you know, you could probably think of a lot of situations, or maybe you've experienced things where you don't want to forgive. Well, that's not what God says. It's not a good thing to carry about bitterness and anger. It's not a good thing to carry that kind of stuff in your heart and in your life. It's baggage that slows you down, holds you back from walking with God. It just does. It's just, no matter what the offense is, no matter what the problem is, it's, you know, we were at the beach and somebody had something to do with Trump. And one of the young girls started crying, say, how could you do that?
She wore a shirt.
Yeah, she had something on her shirt. You know, like that's an unforgivable thing. I don't care about the politics of it, but that's just stupid, you know, to carry things around like that. Politicians are all liars. Just look in the dictionary, liar, and there's a picture of a politician. And they're all, every one of them. To be a politician means that you have to lie and you have to embellish, right? But they're just going to do stuff, and we can't let that hold us down or hold us back. Can't sit and worry about that stuff. You stand for God. So Colossians. So there are going to be things in our lives that are going to be very difficult to forgive. You know, let's read Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So when it says in verse 12, put on therefore, that's that phrase that means to put on like a shirt or a jacket. We're told to put on the renewed mind, right? We put it on. We put off the old man, we put on the new man. Just like you put on a shirt or a jacket. You clothe yourselves. We are to clothe ourselves with bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. In the Working Translation, chapter or verse 13 says, upholding one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against anyone, then even as the Lord or Christ forgave you, so ye also ought to do. See, so we're, no matter what the complaint is, we're to forgive as Christ did. So the standard is as God in Christ or as the Lord has forgiven. That's the standard. What did God forgive us? Everything. You know, everything. There were no limitations. There were no
contingencies.
Yeah. That's a great word, contingencies. No contingencies whatsoever. There were no buts. There were no ifs. There were no ands. And there was no small print. God has given us a command simply to forgive in every situation. And, you know, this pertains specifically in Ephesians and Colossians to in the body of Christ, right? And that's what we're really concerned with. I mean, it's good to forgive anybody and everybody because, again, it just holds you back. It drags you down. It's a lot of energy used up on something that's not worthy of your energy and your time, right? It's just not worth it. And if somebody won't apologize to you, well, then they're not going to apologize. But that doesn't mean you don't forgive them, does it? And if, you know, they're reprobate, if they're incorrigible, then you just pray for them. That's the best thing you can do in that situation. Let's go to Matthew Chapter 18. And I will say personally that there's been a few times when I have been truly hurt by things and by some people. And so, you know, once I got my brain straight, the thing I did is I just prayed. I prayed for that person and I asked God to help me tenderize my heart and you know, just see that situation or that person in a positive way and pray for them. And, you know, that's really the best thing you can do, and it really helps because you're giving, right? Chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Then came Peter to him, to Jesus Christ, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Or should I forgive him, question, till seven times, question? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And there's debate about what that really means, but it's kind of like an idiom meaning you just keep forgiving no matter what, endlessly. Just like Jesus Christ did, just like God did. How many times did God forgive Israel? Just every time, right? He always made a way back. How many times does he forgive us besides the first time when we got born again? Always, right? We are confident that he will always forgive us for everything we do. And we're not perfect, are we? And so when we make a mistake, we can be assured that God will forgive us. Well, that's the way we are to be. We're to be imitators of God, right? So we are to forgive. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who it is. It just, that's it. It's a done deal. We are to be forgiving. So if you can't be forgiving, then you have to work at it. You have to get your mind straight on what God's word says, because it's not, when we disagree with the word, we have to do what? Change our minds, right? That's part of renewing the mind. So if you can't forgive somebody, it's time to get your head in the word and get praying and figure out how to forgive and move on. Anyway, and as Jesus Christ told Peter, keep doing it. You keep forgiving. No matter how many times somebody offends you or hurts you or sins against you. Verse 23, therefore, as the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Now, this is a parable, right? What's a parable? A parable is a story, and it's focused on a point. It doesn't hold true totally, but it holds true on a certain point it's trying to make. And the context is forgiving. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Okay. I guess I didn't read 23 totally. Therefore, there is a kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Means he would settle up their accounts, right? Settle their accounts. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents in biblical currency would be, you know, an unimaginable amount. It would be like if I owed somebody $10 million. There's no way I'm going to pay it off in the foreseeable future before the end of my life. Just no way, right? But for as much as he had not to pay, he was broke, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Well, so that shows us here a couple of things about forgiveness. It's done with compassion. It's done with compassion. And it's done according to the will. You have to will to forgive. And forgiving is like forgiving a debt. You know, if somebody owed you $10 and you know, you knew it was a difficult thing for them, or that it would just bless them or whatever, you just say, okay, forget about it. Forget about the 10 bucks. I used to kid around with people. I'd say, you know that 10 bucks you owe me? Forget it. Just, you know, they didn't owe me 10 bucks. I just, just say it for the heck of it. And they'd look at me. Anyway. That's what it's like, though. It's forgiving a debt. It's like, okay, you owe me, but I don't care about it. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a very payable debt. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. Now, this shows us a comparison here, a contrast between the king who had compassion and forgave an unpayable debt, and that servant who was unforgiving, right? He was unforgiving, and he would not forgive it, and he was mean and cruel to this person, right? Well, there's a big difference between the two. It's a contrast. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, thou art a wicked servant. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him into his tormentors till he should pay all that it was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that their trespasses. Now obviously he's speaking this to the disciples, Peter and the apostles. It's Old Testament, it's in the Gospels. In the New Testament, we're to forgive, right? And God forgives us totally. Whether we forgive or not, we're forgiven, right? But it's Old Testament. But it shows us that contrast of how loving God is and how cruel man can be when he's unforgiving. So that's a great lesson, you know? So this parable makes a sharp contrast between the compassion and forgiveness and hard-heartedness. So that's a terrible thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Remembering that we are to hold ourselves to the standard of God forgiving us for Christ's sake and how Christ forgave us. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you... And says, hath he quickened is in italics. It doesn't really belong there. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, those three verses, I don't think we can even comprehend how bad we were. But, you know, it says in Romans 3:23, I think, that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when it says that, again, I don't think we can comprehend how bad off and how hopeless we really were. Because, you know, we could look back and say, well, I'm not such a bad person. Well, from God's point of view, and in comparison, we sucked. We were just dirt. Slime, you know, bottom feeders. I don't know what else you could say. Those three verses, we just can't comprehend. But what's it telling us? We really needed help. But in contrast, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us, again, if you go back to Romans, it talks about how he loved us even when we were his enemies. How he forgave our sins even when we didn't deserve it. That's grace. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by grace with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. We were dead in sins, but now we're made alive. What a great thing. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I bet when you got born again, you didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry, God, for being such a terrible sinner. You know, somebody taught you to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was the promised Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. And you were happy to do it and happy to know that you were born again. You know, sometimes some religions say, well, you got to say the sinner's prayer and you got to rehearse all your sins. Well, that's not what God's word says. God says you confess the Savior from sin and you're saved and you're forgiven totally and completely and without contingency, right? What a great thing. So when we remember that in Timothy, it says to be strong in grace. To be strong in grace means you remember how much God has done for you by grace. You remember how much he's forgiven you. And then it's easy to forgive others, you know? It's just easy. It's easy for me to forgive my wife because I remember how much she's forgiven me for. Hopefully she's easy to forgive me as much as it is for me to forgive her. I don't know, or something, backwards and forwards, because that's a big thing in marriage, right? You got to forgive, and it's by grace. You know, we administer grace. Forgiveness is all tied up with love, and it's all tied up with grace, and it's all tied up with mercy. And when you have those things working, it's a great way to live life. Forgiveness is compassionate, you know? You have to have compassion to forgive, and you have to decide to forgive. You know, it's not automatic. It's something that you decide to do. So if we go back to chapter 4 where we started. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, when you have any of those things in your mind and in your heart, you need to check yourself out and say, okay, I need to get rid of this stuff because it's not going to do anything but hold me back. It's not going to do anything but weigh me down. It's not going to do anything but hinder me from walking with God and being blessed. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So, Father God, we just thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. And we just thank you, God, that you show us how we can walk with lightness of heart, that we can just be peaceful and blessed, and how when we do come up against those things, that we can learn how to forgive and how to move on. So we thank you, and we just thank you how you show us in your word to do it, that we make a decision. And we are gracious and compassionate and loving. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.